On the 19th, 2025, at 7 p.m. at eLife Restaurant, 9033 Central Avenue, Capitol Heights, Maryland. Details, ubcanddc@yahoo.com, 240-832-7203. Thank you.
Yo, peace, this is Rod Stars.
Peace, this is G1, and together we're Rebel Diaz. When we in the DMV, you know we listening to that People Power Radio, WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice. Let's go.
About it.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Say what you say, say what?
I don't want to be like Mike.
Before Magic's knees go permanently south for the winter.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Changing up the guard quicker than fear brings down doo-doo. Young bro.
He never saw Elgin Baylor play during his day or Oscar Robinson.
Flash the dice roll back. The big O was jackknifing through all them bodies.
I didn't know nothing about it.
Welcome to The Collision, where sports and politics collide here on WPFW, your home for jazz and justice, trying to change this world one broadcast at a time. And goodness gracious, does it need changing. I'm Dave Zirin, joined as always by author, activist, 11-year NBA veteran, Etan Thomas. How you doing, Etan?
I'm doing pretty good, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing okay indeed. A heavy day for reasons that we will discuss, an important day for reasons that we will discuss, and of course joined as well by a man on the scene. Very excited to speak with him about some of what's been going on in D.C. against the occupation, as well as in Chicago, which looks like they've thwarted a military occupation, although ICE is still working in full effect. Chuck Modiano, how you doing, Chuck?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. I mean, how do we not start the show with the news that is completely coast to coast? And we're talking about the killing of a far right wing youth activist, although he was, 31 years old with two kids. That's how he's being pitched as the youth activist. Charlie Kirk at a school in Orem, Utah, where after answering a question, the irony of this is just unbelievable, like poo-pooing mass shootings in the United States. And by the way, there was a shooting at a school in Colorado yesterday, right outside of Denver, three people in critical condition. We're not going to forget that either. But right after he said that, he is shot and killed. Now, we are not going to do conjecture on this show. It's very unhealthy. It's very dangerous. We're just going to tell y'all what we do know. And we do know that no one's been caught yet, which is kind of amazing and a little weird. But like I said, no conjecture. And we know that the threats from the far right, like immediately, were vicious. They were violent, and they were extremely ugly, as if they're craving for bloodshed. Even though, again, I have to say, we don't know who did this. We don't know what the motivations were. It's quite the scene right now. And the one other thing I'll say about it that matters, and then I'll throw to you, Etan, if we're talking about what we do know, is I know that my teenage son came home yesterday to say that every single person in school was watching that bloody video and passing it around. And, you know, that's really part of the problem, too. I mean, we are a society not only right now awash in political violence, but and I'm including the occupation of D.C. in that, but we're also a society that's awash in inuring our young to political violence because it's right there on their phones every day, which sands down the shock value and I think is really corrosive to the generation coming up. Etan, what are your thoughts on this news, man, and everything that went down?
I mean, it was tough, you know. I mean, talk about your son. I spoke with Malcolm last night for you know, about an hour about all this.
Wow.
And he, you know, he called me and he was just like, you know, this feels terrible because, you know, he was a horrible human being, you know, but still, I don't want to keep seeing this video. And it's like he, everywhere I turn, I'm looking at it and there, you know, he's sitting there and he's talking and he's still saying something horrible right before he, you know, gets shot. And then they show him and then they keep everywhere. They're passing it around. Like you said, he's like, and it's disturbing. And I, you know, to your point, this is just where we are in society where things like this get shown. Like, I mean, because when we were younger coming up, I didn't see stuff like this. You know what I mean? Don't lie. I mean, yeah, if you look in a movie, The Terminator or something like that, but you don't see live footage of somebody getting killed on stage and just passed around while you're at school. And there has to be something that is, you know, damaging to the psyche of our young people that they're exposed to this all the time. You know, I'm not a psychologist or anything, but it just, that can't be good.
It can't be good. And, you know, they're actually having a lot of success in New York State right now, surprising success in keeping cell phones out of the classroom and having kids put them to the side to start the day. And to that, I say amen. But that's obviously not what we're talking about. Chuck, a question for you before observations. Is it violent? Am I overstating this? Is it a form of violence that the flags are at half staff till Sunday, that tributes are pouring out at baseball games where he's being called a youth activist leader and things like that. And we are being asked to mourn somebody who called for gay people to be stoned, trans people to be lynched, black people to accept political violence. I mean, I'm sorry, police violence against their person, women to be supremely subservient. I mean, I could go down the list, the things he said about MLK. I mean, put my hair up. Is that a form of violence? Saying that this is someone that society should mourn? I mean, it's all just so head spinning to me. What are your thoughts, Chuck?
I mean, to your question, I think the answer is yes. I've been sitting here for the last 2 years consuming horrible, horrific videos, including snipers, of young people in Gaza, children and kids in Gaza. Yep. I've been consuming that. And all of a sudden, I am told that I need to elevate Charlie Kirk ahead of all these other people by people, and Charlie Kirk himself, by the way, by people who never gave a damn or give a damn about those young children who are being murdered. So we have to have like a priorities here, and that's before I even got into his hatefulness. So I reject the idea absolutely when I see a Yankee Stadium tribute to him. When did it become a problem? Don't get me wrong, you know, that the video, you watch it is horrific. I've been watching horrific videos, and so for people who state that, I want to see your timeline. I want to see your history. I want to see your resume of outrage at snipers and at people being killed. And from what I'm seeing, I'm not seeing a lot on the resume of the people who are telling me how I'm supposed to react. And the other thing I would add, and I understand we're not going to do conjecture here, but you did mention that the far right is utilizing this moment very recklessly. And normally I don't talk about people like Jesse Waters or these Fox News people because they're so corrupt, right? But when you start saying the left, the left, the left, when you don't have one iota of evidence who the shooter was, not one scintilla of evidence of who the shooter was. And if you understand Charlie Kirk, you know he has many enemies in many different quarters. I'm not going to get all into that, but it looked like an assassination. To make the assumption that this came from the left is so reckless. It's beyond journalistic malpractice. It's almost something that you could be jailed with because you're inciting people on information you don't even have. And a lot of these people really need to be checked because they're utilizing this moment in the worst way possible.
Wow. Very well put. We do want to end this segment and go for a break in about 5 minutes because there are things in D.C. that really do demand discussion. Atan, did you want to play a clip for people? Do you want to do that? What do you think, man?
Yeah, sure. No, let's do that. I mean, because you have to put in context actually who Charlie Kirk was. You know, it's not just having a difference of opinion with someone. It's not just that. You know, it's what he would spew across the airwaves, and he traveled to different college campuses, arguing with students. For those that don't know, that's kind of like how it became his shtick. He would say these outlandish things, and it would just be evil. Now, these are the college campuses that we send our kids to. You know what I mean? And he comes there invited by whoever invites him. I'm not going to, say by the university or by whatever organization, mm-hmm. to literally say evil stuff while he's on the campus. And I never understood why they continued to invite him there. For the art of debate, maybe for the creative thinking, but you invite somebody who you know is going to spew nothing but evil on your college campus. That wouldn't be who I would invite there in the first place. But yes, let's go to this clip so you can really kind of hear a little bit of taste of who Charlie Kirk was.
I think it's worth to have a cost of, unfortunately, some gun deaths every single year so that we can have the Second Amendment to protect our other God-given rights. That is a prudent deal. It is rational. So then how do you reduce? Very simple. People say, oh, Charlie, how do you stop school shootings? I don't know. How did we stop shootings at baseball games? Because we have armed guards outside of baseball games. That's
well, sir, I don't think anybody here would deny that when you send your chickens out in the morning from your barnyard, those chickens will return that evening to your barnyard, not your neighbor's barnyard.
I think this is a prime example of the devil's chickens coming back home to roost. That the chickens that he sent out, the violence that he's perpetrated in other countries here and abroad, be it four children in Birmingham
or Medgar Evers or Lumumba in Africa, I think this same violence has come back to claim one of their own.
Wow. Malcolm at the end there, of course, speaking about the Kennedy assassination, something that got him in a tremendous amount of trouble at the time, and I think that's a time we're in now, too. It's like they are so policing comments about this, like in real time, they are policing and going after people who do want to raise the issue that you just raised a ton about, like, this is a person who openly was dismissive of concerns about gun deaths, or as he did in his last words, put it off on gangs, like in Chicago, which is an obviously like hyper racialized thing to say on this campus. And, people are calling him a provocateur, like it's a whole lot of nothing. But when you look at the political violence in this country, the thing that I keep coming back to is that, I'm not the biggest fan of Nancy Pelosi, but her elderly husband was brutally beaten, mm-hmm. almost to death. Mm-hmm. And the person who did it, Charlie Kirk, tried to raise bail for. Mm-hmm. Because he said he's going to tell us the truth about the Pelosis, or the fact that he treated Kyle Rittenhouse as a hero who killed protesters in Wisconsin. I mean, the New York Times wrote a very ugly obituary about Malcolm X, very infamous. People should look it up, where they said, and I'm paraphrasing, the darkness that Malcolm supported came out and grabbed him and pulled him in. The darkness that Malcolm promoted, grabbed him and pulled him into that darkness, and that's why he's dead. That's an infamous obituary, and yet it feels, frankly, pretty at home in this case. And just quickly to you, Chuck, just quick, we got to realize that he wasn't indifferent to Palestinian life. He was openly contemptuous of it.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, and even said, you know, that the killings of them were justified on the for this reason, Chuck. There are no such thing as Palestinian people. That's a myth. They are usurpers. They are trespassers. And that's whose fault it is. Anything that becomes of them is their fault because of their original sin of living in that land. And that, of course, isn't just about militarism. That's about Christian Zionism as well. Like, who is this land for?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And you're talking about Christians. Let me just bring somebody else up. There was a Christian who was a journalist who was murdered by a sniper in 2002. American journalist, American Christian journalist, hit by a sniper in 2002. A very widespread journalist. And that would be Palestinian American and also Christian Shireen Abu Akleh. Mm-hmm. Hit by a sniper. And, you know, I recommend people may want to check out who killed Shireen. And when the pallbearers, when there was a funeral and thousands came out to the funeral, 25-year veteran of Al Jazeera, greatest journalistic voice, highlighting what has been going on to the Palestinians for the last couple of decades, the pallbearers were attacked by the IOF. They were attacked by Israel while during mourning. That's what happened when an American citizen and esteemed journalist was murdered by Israeli sniper. That's what happened. I mean, imagine if such a thing in Charlie Kirk's funeral, whenever that is, if such a thing happened. And you didn't, not only did you not hear a peep, but you had a cover-up. You had a cover-up about her death. And I think we need a little bit of consistency, even from, I know that's like ridiculous asking, like far right for consistency, but you know, I think Representative Melissa Hortman from Minnesota was assassinated not that long ago. I think it was a 24-hour story. So, what?
Not only that, far from putting the flags at half mask, Trump said he wouldn't even call Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota.
Wow.
Because he said that there's no point in it because that guy is messed in the head. That was his tone after they were killed. They were killed in an act of naked political violence. The Minnesota legislature only had a one vote Democratic advantage. And tried to kill two Democrats and killed one to flip the vote of the entire state. Wild. And killed their dog. And killed Melissa's husband. I mean, and that's been ignored. This just gives you an idea about how low the bar is right now. Yeah. I was feeling grateful for the Utah governor, Spencer Cox, just because he mentioned Melissa in those shootings. While no one else on the right is. They're pretending it didn't happen. They're still talking about Steve Scalise and saying they're under attack.
Right. Very selective in who they choose, by the way. You notice that. They're skipping over a lot of people, whether that's Trump himself or this the right-wing media. Very selective.
Or Shireen Akleh, as you said.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let me just say one more thing. It's I'm seeing a lot of different people who are, you know, who have the issues with people using his words after he has been shot. And they're calling that as like being insensitive. And it's I'm like, these are literally his words that he used. It's just bothersome that people can pick and choose who to give sensitivity to. After children were killed in shootings and school shootings, they didn't have any problem with the words that he used. You know what I mean? I mean, when and Chuck just discussed it, he's been looking at the murders of Palestinian kids, women, children, you know what I mean, fathers, every single day. I one of the things I told Malcolm, I was like, Google how many Palestinians were killed today. Just Google it. He was like, okay. And he Googled it, and the number was like 95 or something like that. He was like, this is today? I was like, this is today. Now, if you Google it again tomorrow, it'll be a different number. I was like, because this is always happening, but you don't hear any outrage. You don't hear anybody on the news talking about how terrible it is, how sad they are, that all these Palestinians are being murdered. They don't even want to call it a genocide. Mm. And that's the level of, you know, inhumanity. Like, you're not even worthy of being equal to one person who has been killed. And this is, I mean, and then I don't want to go too long, but going to the everything that's going on in the genocide, they're still talking about what happened in October and the number of Israelis that were killed, and the number of Palestinians are in the thousands. They're in the thousands right now. Mm-hmm. Tens of thousands. And that's the amount of, you know, you're seeing the value of life depending on whose life you are talking about. And everyone should have a problem with that. You know what I mean? It shouldn't just be that you see a white life and they've lost their life and it's a big, massive thing and they can't believe it's happening and the flag should be at half and, you know, we should all have a day of mourning and nobody should speak, you know, any of the factual things that he actually said. Nobody should say anything about that. But you have all of these tens of thousands of Palestinians that you won't even acknowledge have been murdered. There's a problem with that. All right, sorry. Exactly.
No. And it's a reminder to us that the reason to not engage in conjecture, not engage in, you know, the stirring stuff up to the degree that they are, but the importance of speaking factually about who this person was is so important now. Not waiting a week, not waiting 2 weeks, because they are fast forward rewriting who he was and what he stood for. Yeah. To sanctify Charlie Kirk at Yankees games, and you know it's 9/11 anniversary today, of course, and Trump's going to be at the Yankee game. Do you think Trump's going to, you know, 9/11 is traditionally a call for national unity. Do you think that's going to happen today at Yankee Stadium? I mean, using New York City as the place to do it when Zohran is now extending his lead in the polls. I mean, it is a very, very volatile situation. And one of the darn shames of it, and maybe we could go into it right now and right away and then continue after the half hour, is that I was so excited to go into this show this week here on The Collision because of the march in D.C. on Saturday, because of the walkout at AU, because they were actually turned back from the military occupation of Chicago. You know, these are because of people power. And I don't see them going into Baltimore either. Of course, I say all that knowing that ICE is doing what they're going to do. But Chuck, I'll throw it to you. Take the Kirk equation out of it. Were you going into this week's collision feeling actually, for the first time, I don't want to say hopeful, but at least a little bit like, okay, we're getting on our feet here?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, it's been so inspiring. I know we'll talk about it in the other half hour, but it's been so inspiring to see the protests, to see the entire We Are All D.C., a massive rally that happened Saturday, the cover rallies there every day. There are like almost two or three of them every day. On Tuesday, four separate D.C. universities walked out. That was in order, Georgetown University, Howard University, American University, and GW University. And there's a coming together, and there's fighting back, and it's been beautiful. And so this, you know, interrupts that, and we know the right wing is going to use that, and that includes you know, the president, I have to quote Donald Trump here. I don't like to, but this is a very important quote. So we go in his remarks, he says, for years, those on the radical left, there we go, have compared wonderful Americans like Charlie to Nazis and the world's worst mass murderers and criminals. This kind of rhetoric is directly responsible for the terrorism that we are seeing in our country today, and it must stop now. Here's the money. Here's where it really gets connected. My administration will find each and every one of those who contributed to this atrocity and to other political violence, including the organizations that fund it and support it, as well as those who go after our judges, law enforcement officials, and everyone else who brings order to our country. Okay? So he morphed without even knowing who shot Charlie Kirk. Already morphed it into, we're going to go after those who critique the police, essentially the police that I am putting on there. And, you know, that is some really dangerous language. He uses the word terrorism. He makes it about the radical left. And I think what's interesting about that is very few people are actually using the word terrorism right now. And you want to know why that is? I mean, on the right wing media, because it shouldn't come out that the shooter is not who they think it is or who they say it is, or maybe is one of their own, or maybe it's a white national, or maybe it's related to Israel in some way. One of many of the various things thrown out, we have no idea. Well, then it could backfire. So I don't think there's ever been a time where there was so much riding on finding the identity of a shooter and what will be the reaction to that. But we have to pay attention to what Donald Trump is saying, because that directly affects the movement.
Well said. And I swore I wouldn't engage in conjecture. I have no idea who this person is who committed this act, which is going to, of course, blow back on us and people who have feelings that, you know, we need to resist. I mean, but at the same time, I would put chips into the middle of the table that it's at least somehow Army related and training in that regard. I mean, a sniper shot from 200 yards. And then that raises questions that people don't want to have to answer about violence. You know, I keep thinking of Michael Moore's tremendous documentary, Bowling for Columbine, and how he didn't just make it about the school shooting in Littleton, Colorado, but he also talked about how Lockheed Martin was just down the street, employing a lot of people in the town, weapons on trucks, constantly driving through the town. I mean, we are a society awash in violence and have been for decades upon decades. But as you were saying, Etan, as that violence becomes more and more translated through our phones on a daily basis, I mean, I think it's just driving people off the beam. And this is a moment when having a president who would be like, whoa, everybody's got to slow their roll till they know the facts, would actually have real value and would probably save lives. And instead we have this. Yeah. We have this. You protest a police killing somebody, guess what? You're the terrorist.
You're the terrorist, right.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. You know, white is black, up is down.
Yeah, and it's you know, I you know, we're at the bottom of the hour, but I could just end with this, and sometimes you see the hypocrisy kind of shining through, and I quoted Plies, which is very interesting to say because I've never quoted Plies before, but he had a very good tweet, and he said, you know, can we lower the flags also for the school shootings? And it's a school shooter that was barely even mentioned yesterday. You know what I mean? It wasn't even discussed that these are little kids. And, you know, it's just goes back to that whole, you know, and then you see the different clips of Charlie Kirk, and he's talking about empathy and how it doesn't really exist. It's not really a thing. And you see the clips after a school shooting happens, and he discusses how much we should hold on to the Second Amendment rights, and, you know, killings have to happen. And it's just, it's so vile and so evil. It hurts your heart that there are so many people that think like that. Not having Charlie Kirk just as an outlier. You know what I mean? Because he has a big fan base. He has people who cheer him on, who, you know, pack stadiums to see him speak. Not just the people who are debating, but literally agree with him and support him. And that's the thing that should be very frightening to a lot of people, is because the amount of people that actually think like this.
Absolutely right. And for them, unfortunately, no matter who the shooter is, if it's not the shooter of their dreams, and the shooter of their dreams, obviously we can guess who that would be. But if they're still going to say what they say, it's like, I think we also have to realize that if there is a truth that goes against their narrative, they're going to accept their narrative over the truth. We've seen it time and again.
That is true, but there's always some sort of group in the middle and whatnot that are swayable. So I feel at every moment when they start blaming the quote unquote radical left, we have to push back at that at every moment. And I'm speaking about media in general. You don't know who shot Charlie Kirk. Unless you have that information, you're committing journalistic malpractice and probably inciting violence on a criminal level. And we have to stop that in its tracks because that kind of stuff spreads.
Wow. All right, let's go to break right now, as we must do. Station break at the bottom of the hour at WPFW. When we come back, I guarantee you the tone of my voice is going to change because I am going to ask Chuck and I'm going to ask Etan what has inspired them most about the last 7 days in this town, in Chicago, all around the town. We're going to take a break right now. Thank you for listening to us here on The Collision, where sports and politics collide, here on WPFW, your home for jazz and justice.
A school shooting just happened in Colorado the same day we're trying to process what happened to Charlie Kirk in Evergreen High School in Colorado. Several students were left hurt, and the suspect are among those that's injured. America has a gun problem. It's not a black thing. It's not a conservative thing. This entire country going to hell on a handbasket all because it believes it's right to have guns. It's matter more than the right to have people's lives be preserved. 3 students were critically wounded on Wednesday in a shooting at Evergreen High School in Colorado Hills. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Office says that one of those students is the shooting suspect.
And me being me, I'm sorry I gotta point it out, it's a high likeliness that the person that shot Charlie Kirk and the student that did this in Colorado was all white. Look at the racial politics and dialogue around what they did and how they did it and how it's explained away. Also, thoughts and prayers go to all the students in Colorado and probably Charlie Kirk probably in hell, though.
Y'all don't find it crazy that that man's last words was debating about school shootings? And look what's happening one day. He got taken away.
When you look at the data, however, and look at what America has when it comes to people being unalived in guns and other places, it's alarming that we care much more about gun ownership than we care about livelihood in this country. And it's the reason why we have unique, alarming rates when it comes to pew, pew.
Amen to that. We are back here on The Collision, where sports and politics collide. Oh, yeah. We do have a gun problem in this country. You better believe it. Awash with guns. There are more guns than people in this country. But than that, that's a fact. There are more guns in possession of people than there are people. So, Chuck, we are talking about a moment appropriately that feels, I mean, people can hear it in our voices, that feels like trepidation, like we're on edge, like we don't know what's going to happen, like real concerns. But let's go to what happened over the weekend, which actually was, I think, really special and really important. Talk to me, Chuck, about what you saw Saturday and what inspired you. And then, Etan, absolutely the same question, man. Let's try to let people know what's happening in these here streets.
Well, you know what happened because I saw you out there, was able to interview you amongst thousands, tens of thousands, I would argue, who came together Saturday at the We Are All DC rally. It was so beautiful to see everyone come out and fight back and say, we need to end this occupation, which is has been hit its 30-day marker yesterday. Am I right? 30 days yesterday, and said, get out of here. That is, that march was reflective of 80% polled in D.C. who said they do not want the occupation. When we hear pushback, and whether it's online or elsewhere, it's almost always coming from outside D.C., almost always coming from people outside D.C. who don't live in D.C., who don't see these troops just standing around on the corner, who don't know that $1 million a day is being wasted, who don't know that the restaurants are being depressed and it's harming the economy, who don't know that black and brown youth are living in a state of fear at any time. They don't know that. But the people in D.C. who have been rallying every day, who have been having cop watches from midnight to 4 a.m, who have been surrounding ICE and others and saying, you are not going to abduct anyone, from those people who are doing court watch for those who are abducted and for those who are illegally detained and supporting them on Mondays. That is important. And Saturday was an expression of that to the world, to say, get your troops, get your ICE, get your MPD and all the other alphabet soup out of here, and gave a lesson for all of the other places that Trump's goons are going next, like Chicago. But I don't want to say start in D.C. because I got to give a shout out to L.A. who did put a blueprint together.
Hey, man, Tom, what did you see this last week here or elsewhere in the country? Because there was a lot.
No, there was a whole lot. But I was really inspired by seeing the students in all the different universities in D.C. You know, it was great to see, and then seeing the interviews from them and hearing them articulate why they were walking out and why they were, not happy with what was going on and why. Because a lot of times you hear on the news, and I heard it yesterday, these students don't really know. You know what I mean? They belittle them. Oh, they're going with whatever the fashion thing is for everybody to walk out, but they didn't really know why they're walking out. Well, you can listen to them articulate specifically why they are walking out. And that, you know, hearing young people that engaged, you know, every race, every background, you know what I mean? And speaking to exactly what's going on, you know, whether it's calling out, you know, the mayor about their displeasures as what is, you know, appearing to be, not enough resistance to what Trump is doing. And I saw one great interview. Young cat was talking about how, in doing all the comparisons to, okay, you see how the Chicago mayor is resisting. You see how the governor of Maryland is resisting. You see how they're vocal. It was literally what you were saying last week, Dave, that you know exactly where they stand. Why don't we know where our own mayor stands? Why is it ambiguous? Why do we have no idea? Why do we read one thing and it says something, and then we see the press conference and it says something else, and then we see, you know, another article and it says something else? Why don't we have a clear as exactly where she stands? It was exactly what she was saying, and it was just great to see young people articulate that. So that's my favorite part.
Brilliant. And one aspect of, I've been calling it confusionism coming out of the mayor's office, because the confusionism that you describe, of course, benefits the occupation, because people don't know what to do, what to think, like what's our political leadership saying. But the thing that I thought made Saturday so important and the student walkout so important, Chuck, and I'm curious if you've gotten agree, disagree, or if I'm overstating on this, is it felt like people were saying, the heck with waiting for Bowser on this. Bowser is actually irrelevant to the conversation. It's us, it's the occupation, and if Bowser's not going to stand with us, then she really needs to get out of the way. Your thoughts?
Oh, that's absolutely right. You go to the protest, and I sat around for all the speakers on Saturday, and there was... It was very critical of Bowser, but at the same time, the recurring theme is they're not going to save us. We must save us. We must realize our own power, whether that's power through boycott. There's also been, as an example, there's been ongoing boycotts of Target on every Saturday at 11 a.m. at noon, I should say, outside of the D.C. One in Columbia Heights. You know, whether it is working together with each other, whether it is creating mutual aid, whether it is creating cop watches to protect each other, we're going to save us. And, you know, there's a little moment, I might be saying too much, but maybe I'm not. One of the few elected officials who was there from Ward 4 is Janice Lewis-George, and she spoke, and her tone and her pushback is representative of the people in ways that Bowser is not. And as she was leaving the stage, Janice for mayor chants erupted. So, you know, wasn't ready for that. So I did a little digging, and I know Janice and interviewed her as well, but I wasn't going to, you know, put her on the spot on that one. But I did a little dig. I don't believe she has plans. But those chants erupted on Saturday.
Chuck, was she the only council person there?
That's a good question. I don't want to answer that because I did like slip in and out of who was speaking, and I don't know if I have the whole list. But let's just say it was a rarity, right? She was a rarity. And, you know, for the most part, I have seen Janice at rallies where they're really activist based. Sometimes there are many activist rallies that don't have any elected officials there, but will allow some in if they're aligned. So you might have an activist rally, a Free Palestine, but Cori Bush and Rashida would be in there, you know, because they might have been consistent on that. So I think, you know, Janice falls in that category.
Wow. Can I tell you something? I looked it up online. This just gives you an idea. Folks, do not trust AI. The AI response to the question about how many DC council members were at the rally is zero.
Right.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, that's wrong.
What the heck is happening, Chuck?
Yeah, that's wrong. And I haven't seen any videos. Maybe I'll pull my video out of people. Preston Mitchum was on the mic at the time. He heard people say, Janice for mayor, Janice for mayor. And then he starts amping it up. And, you know, me with my camera, I pull over to Janice and she's sort of like kind of hiding. And then I felt bad. I'm not gonna crate put her on the spot like that. But I started to a little bit. But yeah, we'll see. But I at this time, from when I ask people, I don't think she has such plans.
Wow. And you know what nobody asks is like, who's programming the AI? Like,
that's
people
right.
Ask like, AI, is this a, like almost like an oracle, almost religious? Yeah. Like you go to it for objective answers and objective truth. And I'm telling y'all right now that Chuck, we saw Janice speak. And AI is telling us to not believe our lying eyes or our lying ears. It really is remarkable. Wow. I mean, Atan, where do we go from here at this point? Like, what do we do? I mean, I was concerned, Atan. Like, I wrote an article for The Nation that went up yesterday, if you can believe this, about Charlie Kirk.
Oh, wow.
And about him going to a Cubs game and about how problematic it is that Major League Baseball was celebrating this dude. That came out like literally it posted like an hour before this happened. And it's just I'm wondering where we go from here, because immediately I was completely concerned that, okay, I'm going to get this hellacious backlash. I don't know what's going to happen, you know, because I wrote he shouldn't be at a Cubs game. You know, are people going to say, oh, your kind of language is why we're this, we're that, we're the other? And yet, I have seen, I'm curious, Atan, if you've seen it too, such a torrent of people being like, no, we're not going to praise this dude, whether the president says we have to or not, that it actually made me feel quite less lonely and made what I wrote actually seem extremely tame compared to what a lot of folks were saying. I mean, it's interesting to me the ferocity of people. I just feel like people are fed up with them telling us who our heroes are supposed to be, especially when those heroes dehumanize us on a daily basis?
I mean, it's tough when you're looking through the you know, his comments. It's so tough because you're seeing people saying, you know, at the same time you are seeing some people who are, you know, chastising, you know, the people for using his quotes, not like made up quotes, but actually things that he said. But then you're looking at other people and saying, oh, wow, I didn't know he said that. And they Google, oh, my gosh, he even said this. You know what I mean? And so a lot of when you see all the vile venom that he has been, you know, putting in the world for, you know, the past, I don't know how long he's been doing his shtick, and you see them all like lined up, you're like, wow, this is really evil. Like it's not even like, why would you even have the desire to say something like that? You know what I mean? Like
that's a great point. Like what makes you think that's something you should say in public?
Right. That you should say, and how could it be okay? And then how could there be people that applaud that? Those are very key things that really trouble me, because it's not just him. There's not just one vile person who says things in his vacuum. You know, he has a large following. Mm-hmm. And that is very disturbing that there are a lot of people who think like this. I know I mentioned it earlier, but that's what I keep coming back to. Every time I see, you know, something else horrible that he said that sometimes you even forget about. I mean, who says that Martin Luther King was not a good person? Like, why would you say that? You know, I mean, after George Floyd was killed, why would you go out of your way to say that, no, it's not what we all saw? It's not that he had the police officer, Derek Chauvin, had his knee on his neck for 9 minutes. No, and it's not all that. It was something else. So never mind what you're seeing with your own eyes. It was really this. So let's not think that it was an issue or anything bad. He was really resisting arrest. And those are all things that came out of his mouth. So it's like, you know what I mean? How do you feel empathy, even though you never want to be able to say, you know, when somebody passes away, you know, that is like a good thing, or it's not a horrible thing, and especially in the way that he did. But when you look at his body of work, like, how is that not disturbing to you that this was even said? You know what I mean? So I think when you talk about someone of like this, you have to speak about them in the totality of them. You know what I mean? It's just you can't do it any other way. So then when you see someone on the opposite side praising him and saying that he was this, you know, and the thing that really bothers me is that he was someone that stood for the principles of Christianity. I'm like, what principles are you talking about? You know what I mean? Those are not principles of Christ. Christ didn't say any of you can't. The fact that anyone could even make that correlation and have the audacity to say that in the same sentence is bothersome. My bad, I'm going long again, but it's just...
No.
It's a lot.
You're not. I mean, you're talking to somebody who has seen, you know, the faith that I was raised in used to justify a genocide over the last year and a half or longer, the last 70 years. And believe me, that something like that offends you to your core, because my memories of Judaism growing up involved me next to my mother in a temple, listening to a children's choir, talking about peace. And so for people to take that and say, well, this is our justification for killing people by the thousands, taking their land. I mean, it's terrible. It feels, that's why a lot of people like myself who are with groups like JVP say that it is actually anti-Semitic to say that this is a Jewish thing, like that the way Israelis say, we're doing this for all Jews. And that's why we're doing it for Palestinians, because Jews want this. Like, this didn't get any news, but Jerry Seinfeld said yesterday, that Free Palestine was a slogan of should be just the KKK. And he said, at least the KKK was more honest than Free Palestine. First of all, never watching Seinfeld again. Second of all, there is something there, Chuck, that is so pernicious, because what it does is it practices erasure of the tens of thousands of Jewish people who are in the United States, part of that movement to Free Palestine. we get erased because we're inconvenient. In Charlie Kirk's case, the incredibly brave tradition in Christianity that we see in things like the civil rights movement, the movement of solidarity with the priests of Central America killed by our military. You know, you can go on and on to the religious, to the Christian folk who are, you know, openly are getting arrested to save Palestine. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just feels like such a perversion, Chuck.
Oh, no question about it. No question about it. And that was where I first went, because like I said, we've been consuming these videos for 2 years. Jerry Seinfeld does not speak for anyone Jewish, by the way. He does not speak for anyone Jewish. He might speak for Zionists. He might speak for Christian Zionists, too. He might speak for white supremacists, but he does not speak for Judaism. And that is an absolute fact. And I don't want to waste too much time. Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, we don't have to go on with it.
No, I don't. But I do want to, you know, maybe listeners just don't know. Tom was starting with a list of just maybe how racist, you know, Charlie Kirk was. He would say things like, if I see a black pilot, I'm going to be like, boy, I hope he's qualified. He called George Floyd a scumbag and justified 8.5 minutes of Derek Chauvin's knee, who was just following orders, who was just doing the proper procedure. That is his takeaway. So whether it's Palestinians, whether it's George Floyd, whether it is a whole myriad of atrocities and deaths that came before him, people are asking to give grace to a white supremacist that would give no such grace to anyone else, including MLK. So this is ridiculous. This is upside down. And you can go down a whole list. He mocked black women, calls them all low IQ, affirmative action. And he'll include Michelle Obama from Harvard on that list. Justice Ketanji Brown on that list. When he sees a black woman, he sees someone who is not as qualified as his white self or Trump's white self, a white male self. You can go down a whole list. And said terrible things about Central Park Five and Youssef Salaam. You know, I could go on for days, but I encourage people to go down that list. And we have to remind people about that list as they try to reinvent him. Last point, guys. Okay. It's not just the Democratic Party are all giving platitudes. On some level, there's a little bit of ass covering and things like that. But we have to understand, like, the most popular Democrat in the polls, Gavin Newsom, or one of the most, I don't know what the current polls, Gavin Newsom isn't just making statements now, but had Charlie Kirk on his podcast in January, had Steve Bannon on his podcast. Was it to ask him very critical questions like, Charlie, why do you support ending the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s? Can you elaborate on that? And I need to critique you on that. He didn't ask those questions. They were giggling. They were laughing. Gavin Newsom said, my son loves you. You're a hero of his. That's what he said. And they started joking around about it. This is the Democratic leadership that we have, that their children. Well, if Gavin Newsom's son somehow got misguided to be a fan of Charlie Kirk, well, then you've done some bad parenting, Gavin Newsom. And Gavin Newsom did not show any desire to correct it. If somehow I messed up so badly as a parent that my son came up and said, I like Charlie Kirk, well, then we're going to handle that right now. We're going to handle that right now. But that's not what Gavin Newsom said. So I want to be clear that, you know, we're not going to get too many answers coming out of the Democratic Party because they're playing politics and they were collaborating with this white supremacy before the death.
Well, that's a good point to end on. Well, the time has stopped for us right here. Etan, Chuck, any announcements real quick? Anything you want to say? We got 30 seconds.
Not announcements, but I just want to, you know, say much respect to all the students who keep using their voices. Just much respect to you. That's all.
Chuck?
You know, same thing. All the universities coming out. I'll be putting out some more videos, and they've just been amazing. And we have to keep fighting. We have to keep battling, and we have to keep changing the narrative to the truth.
Put them out, Chuck. I'll post them. You best believe that. Thank you to everybody for listening to us here on The Collision. Thank you to WPFW for being a light right now. For everybody out there listening, please stay frosty. Please stay frosty. We are out of here. Peace.
Share with us your message here today. Yes, I just wanted to say something. For so long, I felt so bottled up in my emotions and my feelings in this overwhelming time of occupation in DC and occupation internationally. I feel like what the government is doing is so abhorrent that I wanted to share. I had not planned to say anything in this walkout, but I did plan on attending. I just felt that this was my chance to actually speak my mind. And yeah, all the points I said about Indigenous Americans being targeted, Hispanic people being targeted, immigrant communities in general, even I feel targeted myself as I'm part Nigerian. I'm scared that just because of my name or if I'm caught speaking another language, I could be stopped. I've seen the National Guard carrying around AK-47s while I'm trying to go to a museum with my friends to educate myself on contemporary art. That is not something that should be happening in this country, and I'm disgusted by it. That's my perspective on the situation.
Hey, DMV. Sankofa presents a community celebration in the midst of the madness, cuz it's Mama Lucy Murphy's 75th birthday. Hey, ho. Sunday, September 14th, 2 to 6 p.m. at Sankofa Cafe, 2714 Georgia Avenue Northwest. The afternoon is a fundraiser for WPFW and will feature an open mic with hosts Esther Ibero and Nkechi Taifa, just to name a few, and for you to sing, play, or present poetry or hip-hop. An afternoon of collective effervescence, honoring one of our own sheroes and supporting WPFW. Details at sankofa.com.
The Baltimore Book Festival takes place Saturday and Sunday, September 13th and 14th on the Waverly Main Street in central Baltimore. Now in its 29th year, this year's festival features talks by a wide variety of notable authors, including Zaina Azam, Charlie Jane Anders, Jeff Chang, and Tourmaline, and kicks off on Saturday at 10 a.m. with a special drag queen story hour focused on the life of transgender icon Marsha P. Johnson. Details on close to 100 author events across 8 stages and 6 city blocks filled with vendors at BaltimoreBookFest.com.
WPFW, your station for jazz and justice, is seeking a leader to serve as WPFW's next general manager. We are looking for someone with strong managerial skills, a commitment to independent media, an appreciation for African American culture and history, and a passion for community service. The general manager will guide WPFW's mission, oversee an extraordinary group of staff and volunteers, and help build the future of this listener-supported community treasure. If you are ready to lead with creativity, integrity, and vision, we want to hear from you. To apply or learn more, visit hr@pacifica.org.
What's it do if you're approached by the police?
We deserve to be safe in our neighborhoods.
Follow these tips to assert your rights.
If you're being stopped, detained, or arrested, the best thing to say is nothing.
Stick to only these questions. Am I free to go? If stopped by law enforcement, try to leave the conversation as quickly and safely as possible.
Ask, am I free to go?
If yes, walk away calmly and quietly. Running away could give them pretext to detain you. Officers may try an incite a reaction. Ignore them. Knowing your rights is a great first step.
And asserting your rights is even better.
The Can I Kick It outdoor summer movie series presented by Shaolin Jazz is back. And it's coming to Southeast DC for the first time ever. Enjoy 3 nights of martial arts and action films, scored live with hip-hop, soul, and more, mixed by WPFW alum DJ Two Tone Jones. Saturday, September 20th at Skyland Town Center with the screening of Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon. Then on Saturday, October 25th, the series concludes with the screening of I'm Gonna Get You Sucker at the Capitol Hill Boys Club Artist Gallery. Each event begins at 7 p.m. with a guest DJ set, followed by the movie at 8:30 p.m. Blankets and lawn chairs are welcome. For more details, visit shaolinjazz.com. shaolinjazz.com.
WPFW family, the fun begins on Saturday, September 13th at the WPFW 5K Run Walk for Total Fitness from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. In addition to the 5K, fitness and wellness classes such as Tai Chi, line dancing, breath work, double dutch, and more will be offered along with music to